This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Right now we do have Optus Sports' own expert, Michael Bridges, and of course you can watch the UEFA Champions League and Europa League live and exclusive on Optus Sport. Also, catch the entire 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup live on demand in June. Michael Bridges, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good, and we're sure you're well as well. First question we've got is, was this 2018-19 Premier League season title race the best title race ever in the Premier League history?
Oh, there's been a few. I think the title race, when you consider how many times the teams in Liverpool and Manchester City have swapped positions throughout the year, has been absolutely incredible. And, you know, it's not many teams that are top at Christmas end up losing the title race. And it's happened to Liverpool for a third time. It's absolutely incredible. I'm a little bit upset for the Liverpool fans, to be fair, in the way Liverpool have played under Klopp. City have won it before. It would have been, I think it would have been just reward if Liverpool had done it. But, you know, City and Pep Guardiola have just turned it on. It has been an incredible title race, but the most memorable one for me was when Aguero scored the two late goals for City that took the title away from Manchester United in the last 30 seconds of the season. That one will always stick in my mind for just that moment that we remember. But for the actual title race, where it's been off and on and teams have changed positions, this for me has been one of the most crazy, shall we say, because of the amount of times it's changed positions.
We saw the Liverpool fans celebrate when Brighton went ahead. Have you ever played in a game where the crowd were keeping track of another result? And what's it like to play in that? How hard is it to stay focused?
I've seen it from both sides of the fence. When you're actually top of the league in the Championship with Sunderland, and we were looking over our shoulders for other results, and you know, our fans are obviously listening to the radio and things like that, so they know what's going on. The cheer goes up. It does take a little bit, I wouldn't say pressure off you, but you just think, oh, you know, maybe this is out of our hands and it's a bit of destiny that we are going to get promoted. But there's nothing worse when you're in a relegation battle and you can just feel the tension through the fans because, you know, the opposition are winning. And it was I think it was Coventry City the season I got relegated with Sunderland. We got beat at Wimbledon. Down at the old Wimbledon, the old crazy gang. And Coventry delayed their kickoff by 15 minutes, and the anticipation knowing that we'd lost the game, to wait them extra 15 minutes to see what our fate was going to be, and Coventry managed to get a result. So, you know, sometimes it's good. It does pay you dividends to know what the other results are going on and how you can have a go. But I've seen it from both sides, and I'd rather not know, to be honest.
We'll talk about, obviously, Liverpool's season, you know, the awards that have come out of it: Van Dijk, Player of the Year, Alisson, Golden Glove, two players winning the Golden Boot in Salah and Mane, 97 points. But where do you see, do you see much difference for them moving into next season? Would you like to see them use the transfer market to grow, or are you happy with the side they've got now, and do you think that they can probably win it next year with little change overall for this side?
Sorry, on about Liverpool or City?
Liverpool, sorry.
Yeah, Liverpool, yeah. I mean, what he's done is absolutely magnificent. And not only with the battles going on for the title race, like you said, Alisson getting the Golden Glove by one over Edison, who had 20. Aguero, one goal behind Salah and Mane. I'm sure them players would change all them trophies to be the Premier League title holders. So what do Liverpool do next season? They've got to get themselves up for the Champions League. They've got to bounce back and not feel sorry for themselves, because obviously they've got a game coming up against Tottenham Hotspur. That's going to be absolutely massive. And I think Klopp will spend. I think Liverpool will spend, and I think they will put it into areas in that midfield. You know, the front three, maybe another number nine, because you see Salah and Mane. Absolutely magnificent. Firmino has played his part this season, but I just feel that there could be that special player that they are lacking in front of goal that could just give that extra cutting edge, and maybe one in midfield. But apart from that, I mean, Robertson, Alexander-Arnold, probably the best fullbacks all season. Van Dijk's come in, and he's actually made Lovren and Matip up their game as well. So maybe there's a centre-half there, but Klopp will have an idea. He knows what he wants. That's why he saw Coutinho. So he knew that way he could strengthen in other areas. He's a special man. He's a special manager. And actually, Liverpool actually kicking on from this, going into the Champions League and also going forward for next season.
We've got an all-English final in that Champions League and the Europa League. Does that show just how strong English football is at the moment?
Hello, you broke up there, sorry.
We've got an all-English final in the Champions League and the Europa League. Does it show just how strong English football is at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely flying. And I was just doing an interview the other day with the team at Optus Sports for our Gegenpod, and it was incredible to think. It's always been the biggest league and the best watch league in the world. But when it comes to European matches, you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid have absolutely dominated the Spanish teams, and Sevilla under Unai Emery. And I just felt that English football was lacking something. They've got the money, they've got the biggest viewing figures. And for me, what has happened in the last 4 or 5 years has been the managers that have come into this Premier League that have actually given the English managers and some of the other guys a kick up the backside to say, you know, the game evolves, you've got to move with the way football is being played. And Pep Guardiola, Klopp, Sarri Ball, Unai Emery, and Pochettino, what he's done at Tottenham Hotspur, they have all added to the pedigree of English football tactically. And it's been absolutely special, because what's happened now, it's had a massive knock-on effect for the coaches that are in England as well, that are working at these clubs, that are then going to work with the English FA and training the juniors. And it's spreading. And that's what has been absolutely, that I've loved, to have four English teams in the European finals. But it's, for me, it's a knock-on effect that these managers are having in English football and the culture and how much the game has evolved.
You think it would lead to a dynasty of English football dominance on the world stage, on the European stage?
I think it will, because the money's there. The money's already available due to the TV rights, the players, and all the managers now that are the best in the world want to manage in the Premier League. And I think that comes with the exposure that you're getting globally around the world, but also the financial situation. Some of the players' wages. Yes, you've got that in China as well, but you end up going into oblivion. There's no media scope on that, and that can be the end of your career if you do that. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a long run for English domination over the next couple of years in the European competitions, because there's one thing I'll guarantee you: Pep Guardiola wanted the Champions League this season. He didn't get it. And if you'd have told me there'd be four English clubs in all finals of the competition in Europe and Man City wasn't one of them, I would have told you where to go. I would have used Klopp's language. it's incredible to think that City aren't involved. So they will be gunning along with him for next season to win that. So I can see another couple of clubs being involved, definitely, if not three next season.
A club that won't be involved in the Champions League next season, Manchester United. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said after the game that they are in a rebuild. What do you expect to happen at Old Trafford in the summer transfer window, and will Paul Pogba stay at the club?
Well, I think Solskjaer had an incredible start the managerial reign, and you know, it forced their hand to give him a contract. And ever since the contract came, it's all just fallen apart again, and he's found himself in a very similar situation to what Mourinho was in, where some of the players have kind of down tools and haven't upped their game. And Pogba, again, breath of fresh air when Solskjaer came in, we saw the best of him, but again, it just goes back to a lacklustre performances from some of the players. And I think the club are going to back and should back on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and let him do what he wants. If he wants to clear out, get them out, because there's nothing worse than when you have a players that control the dressing room over the coaching staff, and you've got to stop the toxic environment happening. So I think Solskjaer will do that. And Man United need to have a real good focus of where they want to go, and to see, you know, it's just been a shambles the last 3 or 4 years. So they've got to get some continuity back. They've got to have a direction. And they've got to have somebody at the forefront of that and back Solskjaer. Otherwise, you go around the managerial roundabout yet again. Yes, they've got some cracking youngsters coming through. Solskjaer will be there with Michael Carrick, understanding that. Mike Phelan's over there. They need to rebuild. And I think that the quicker they can sell some players, especially after the way Pogba had a consultation with the fans. Once you lose the fans and you throw your shirt in there, and the disrespect, and they don't really, you know, it was quite a heated moment that he was getting a lot of abuse. So I think there's a lot of stuff going on there that they'll take into consideration, and I can't see Pogba being there next season.
We'll move down now. We know you'll be keeping close tabs on Leeds and Sunderland, and we'll start off with the Championship. Leeds getting that 1-0 victory over Derby. I'm sure if you managed to catch the game, you'd see probably a bit better run in form from the end of the season. Do you think that they have now got this this head above Derby and even potentially to get that last promotion spot with how they went on the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, Derby's form was absolutely magnificent. And to think that Leeds United and Bielsa have beaten Derby 3 times this season is absolutely incredible. It's just Bielsa just got Frank Lampard tucked in his pocket, and Lampard's had a great run with Jody Morris there. The game was very, very close. There was a penalty decision that was actually given to Derby, and thankfully the linesman who got a better view of it, he had the kahunas to put his flag up and say it wasn't a penalty. That was disallowed, and then the goal from Rufford was a magnificent bit of play from Leeds United down the left-hand side with a pass that was over 50 yards on the angle and in a very calm finish. So Leeds have definitely got the momentum going at this over Derby. They've got the home leg now against Aston Villa. Away goals don't count, but what it does do, it gives you the massive, massive confidence booster. And I said it 2 weeks ago when the teams were announced who was going to be in the playoffs in the Championship. I said Villa would win against West Brom and Leeds would get the job done over Derby. And in the final, it's anybody's game because they're two very, very strong teams with individual quality, two very good managers and a style of play which is recognisable. So I'm hoping it's Leeds, but it's going to be a very, very interesting match if that's the way it pans out and that is the final. But two teams, the two better teams got the result done in 1-0 victories.
Also touch on Sunderland, another one of your beloved clubs. Also got the job done in a 1-0 win over Portsmouth with a nice Maguire volley. Good news for the Black Cats was Oz Turk's red card. It's been rescinded and he will play in the second leg. How have you seen, obviously the Black Cats probably parallels with Leeds with their run and form coming into the playoffs, but they got the job done as well at home at the Stadium of Light. But do you think that they've got the upper hand against Portsmouth in the second leg?
Well, I've got to be honest with you. I did actually fall asleep midway through this game. I tried to do Leeds and Sunderland back-to-back after all the Champions League, and I fell asleep. But my phone was pinging all night in the morning, when Leeds United and Sunderland got the results from all the friends and family back home. So I realised that it was a good victory. And yeah, upper hand, yes, there wasn't as many fans turned up when you think Wembley. And Portsmouth, it was a 1-1. It went to penalties, and it was a full house at Wembley. The Stadium of Light was actually half empty, which was really strange to witness what went on there. But the players got their job done. They got the result. It's going to be very, very tough going to Portsmouth. Yes, they've got the upper hand, and I think this game's still in the balance, very much so, because I think the red card getting rescinded is a huge help to Sunderland. They've got the one goal advantage, but I can see this again going to Portsmouth getting the result 1-0 and this going to extra time again and not all the way potentially. So fingers crossed. Sunderland haven't got a good status of penalty taken at Wembley. I was there when we got beat off Charlton in the playoff final. They got beat off Portsmouth recently, so hopefully it'll get done in extra time, if not before, and I wish them all the best because it'd be great to see them back as well.
And before we let you go, lastly, out of those two sides, Leeds United and Sunderland, who do you feel will be the most likely to get promoted come the end of the season?
Oh, look at the users. questions, wow. I would say Leeds United because of the Bielsa effect and the players that have, all season been up there. I think Sunderland at the moment with what's going on with Portsmouth, losing them already, whereas Sunderland, Leeds United have got the upper hand of Derby. I'm going to say Leeds United will be back.
Well, we hope so because they will be...
Don't replay this to us, lads, if it's the opposite way.
No, we won't do that, but hopefully Leeds United can get into the Premier League. It'll be great to see them back in the top tier. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate having you on the show and hopefully we can talk to you again shortly.
Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael Bridges, for joining us on the show today. And of course, you can watch all of the Champions League and Europa League on Optus Sport.